Okay, we're in heavenly places. Page 73. It's titled Fervent Prayer. And it's for March 7th, of course. If you click the link in the room, you'll notice that the link doesn't work. It brings you to March 6th for some reason. And so you can click this link that I put in the I put this in the room earlier, I think. Nope, that link is gone now. It's you have to scroll up to get that link. Or when you click the Heavenly Places link, just go to the end of it where it says 72, change that to 73, and then hit enter. It'll work. And you have just programmed a URL. So some of the URLs are little programs is all they really are. Thank you, Eli. Just like what Eli just did here. Just click that link. So. All right. And this is what it says. Again, fervent prayer, March 7th. It says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's Psalm 62, verse 8. And this is one of the reasons I like to read Psalms and Proverbs every single solitary day. I've been doing this for years. Before I do my regular studies. I don't know how many times I've read the book of Psalms, and I know I've read the book of Proverbs probably five times more than I read the book of Psalms, because Proverbs is much shorter. It's not as huge. It doesn't have as many entries or chapters. And just like this morning, even though I've read Proverbs probably 1,000 times, another thought comes to mind is I'm reading one of the verses, and I put it in my notes. And it really does help, and especially like if you know somebody that's just starting to get into the Word and they're having a hard time understanding it, I always, you know, direct them to the book of John first, of course. And if you want a crash course on how to understand the King James, if you've read Shakespeare, then you already know, because it's written in the same tongue. But read Proverbs, because it even though the questions are a little like it's the old English, they're easy to understand. And that's what I love about Proverbs. It asks a question and answers it. Asks it, answers it. Asks it, answers it. All the way up and down, all over the place. So it's a really good booster shot of, you know, faith and truth and theology and everything else. So anyway, she goes on to say, the prayer is the opening of the heart of God, or the heart to God as to a friend. The eye of faith will discern God very near, and the suppliant may obtain precious evidence of the divine love and care for him. But why is it that so many prayers are never answered? The Lord gives us the promise, ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart, in Jeremiah 29:13. Again, he speaks of some who have not, some who have not cried unto me with their heart, in Hosea 7:14. But she says, such petitions are prayers of form, lip service only, which the Lord does not accept. And it's like the old saying, like this one atheist I met many, many, many years ago, and he didn't want anything to do with our God, as he called him. He says, first of all, a God that would throw somebody into hellfire and enjoy listening to them scream for all eternity is not a God I want to worship. And it's so sad, too, because I was talking to a guy today in email. Well, actually, I called him on the phone first. He called me. And I thought it was a legit, you get him every now and then. I thought it was a person that genuinely had a question. All he wanted to do was lecture me. He didn't want to believe that when you go to hell, you burn up. And that's it. Your eternity is death. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't say the wages of eternity is eternal life and fire. But Satan's been saying that since Eden, and he's a Sunday keeper, and he's disobedient, so he's not going to understand it anyway. But he actually believes that, and it's Catholic theology, that God, it's not so much that God enjoys hearing the people scream for all eternity, it's just that it's their own fault. They made a decision to jump into that fire, which is true. But that doesn't mean we're going to, they're going to float around for all eternity. And I says, what about the ashes in Malachi? We're walking on their ashes. And he says, oh, no, that's just their bodies. And he kept on bringing up the spirit. And I says, well, the book of Job says that the spirit of God is within my nostrils. And, of course, he had no answer for that. And so they want to believe what they want to believe, and they want to make God a tyrant. They want to make him angry and hateful, and that's their prerogative. And so I just couldn't deal with it. I just, I got to go. I kind of hung up quickly because it was just, he was getting loud, and I'm not gonna be goaded into an argument. But it's like I was saying, like the atheist, where he says, I don't want nothing to do with your God. After saying what he said about hellfire, he says, I had a friend that was in desperate need of help from God one day, and this was a loved one, actually. It wasn't a friend, it was a loved one. It was one of his kids or something like that, or siblings. And he said he was out there praying for a whopping 30 minutes or 45 minutes. I don't even remember what it was. Could have been 15, who knows? And he says, God didn't do anything. And it was just lip service. I says, wow, you prayed that long, huh? I mean, I've been praying, trying my best to pray without ceasing for the last 30 years. But the thing is, they don't get it. A lot of people, and that's why you'll see sometimes when you walk into a hospital, a doctor walks out and tells a loved one, oh, there's nothing else we can do. All you can do is pray. And they all collapse in tears thinking, well, that's it. That person is gone. Prayer don't work. Why? Because it doesn't work for them. And the reason it doesn't work for them, they have no faith. They have no trust. They've never seen the Lord's hand move before. And so they, don't have any experience to trust him. And because they really don't want to. In a lot of lives, it is. I mean, there are people that want to trust him, but they don't know. They don't want to go through the motions. It's just like with the young teenager that steps out of the house at 18 and goes to get a job someplace and wants CEO position right away. It says, no, you got to work your way up. It's just the same thing with Christianity. If you want to get the understanding, if you want to get the smile on your Father's face, if you want to get that wisdom and discernment, all those blessings that he has promised, get in his word on a daily basis. And then the tough times are still going to come, yeah. But they're going to be a lot easier to go through them. You can go through the trials with the smiles. Because you're not offering lip service, as she's saying here. Because a lot of people do that. They still do that to this day. They'll throw up a prayer thinking, and then get angry at God when he doesn't answer. And it's so sad. So it has to come from the heart. Yeah. That, amen, Brother Patrick. And it definitely has to come from the heart. But a lot of people, it just comes from the lips. They figured it. And Catholicism is a good illustration to that effect because of the way they pray. None of their prayers come from the heart, not a one. All their prayers come from paper. They're all canned. You got novenas, you've got devotions, you got the rosary, you got the stations of the cross, you've got all sorts of ridiculous, I don't even know what the, there are just so many of them. I praise God, I've been out of there for 30 years, but, well, yeah, actually over 30 years, but it was like religious calisthenics is all it really was. Yeah, amen, Kevin. It's just boring repetition. Vain repetition, amen. And that upsets the Father. And this is what Catholicism is designed to do. It's designed to anger the Lord. And look at the Queen of Heaven. Look at what it says in Jeremiah. That Queen of Heaven situation, that doctrine or dogma, angered God. It pushed his wrath forward. And so what does the Catholic Church do? Boom, they go for that Queen of Heaven. And so with if the Bible says don't call any man on earth your father, boom, call him father. Whatever the Bible says to do, they don't do. And whatever it says don't do, they do. It's definitely a very satanic religion. So she goes on to say that there is need of prayer. Most earnest, fervent, agonizing prayer, such prayer as David offered when he exclaimed, as the heart panteth after the water, brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I have longed after thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments. And I always like that one statement that David made as well, that deep crieth unto deep. But this is, of course, Psalm 42:1, Psalm 119:40, 174, Psalm 84:2, 119, and then verse 20. And then she says, this is the spirit of wrestling prayer, such as was possessed by the royal psalmist. And this is something that always amazed me, too, because I pray a lot, pray morning, midday, and evening, and then I do the without ceasing thing throughout the day. In other words, I'm just talking to him on a regular basis. And I've noticed different methods or format or ways to pray. And it could be, you know, the regular thing, like in the morning you get up and I start my day on my knees. And it's not so much a canned prayer, but it's always the same thing I pray for. My loved ones, the people on the prayer list. Any of your names happen to come up, they're mentioned, you know, because like a lot of times your names, you know, individuals will come up. And you just go on from there. And then, of course, the midday is going to be a little bit more in length. And then so will the evening prayer, because I like to spend time in quiet of the evening with him. But I've noticed that sometimes, I'm not going to say that he's more attentive to certain prayers. It just seems he knows when you're serious. So, okay, yeah, duh, he's going to know when you're serious. I've seen his hand move more when I fast and pray. I've seen his hand move more when I weep in prayer. And I've even seen his hand move when I pray on a regular basis, like every now and then, you know, someone that I pray for, whether it's a child or, you know, just a loved one. We'll say that the Hedge of Angels was there for a certain situation, because I know I'm praying, my wife's praying. And so you see those, you know, those regular prayers on a, you know, regular basis, but every now and then you get these amazing situations that bring you to your knees, literally. You know, spiritually as well as physically. I mean, you're just knocked back. You know, and you weep, and it's just, and he knows you're serious. And I don't know. I'm not going to say he's more attentive to some prayers. Sister White even goes so far to say in one of her books, that prayer on Sabbath is even more intense because he'll answer the prayer before the Sabbath ends. Now, yes, some people say, well, wait a second, I've done it too. I've prayed on Sabbath, and I'm still waiting for the answer. But what I believe she's saying is the answer will come before, in other words, he'll make the decision regarding what you prayed for on that Sabbath before the sun goes down. It'll be yes or no to the answer to your prayer, right? It'll either be a yes or no. Now, granted, the way he answers prayer is not the way we answer conversational, you know, back and forth, talk, you know. It could take a week. It could take a month. It could take 10 years before conditions are ripe to where the prayer is then answered because you're not ready for the answer yet. And it's going to come in a way that is absolutely, unequivocally perfect for you and everyone involved. It always is. He is that amazing. He is your Father. So she goes on. Of Christ it is said, and being in an agony he prayed more earnestly in Luke 22:44. In what contrast to this intercession by the majesty of heaven are the feeble, heartless prayers that are offered to God? Many are content with lip service, and but few have a sincere, earnest, affectionate longing after God. Now there is a difference. I mean, some people think, okay, I was tempted in the beginning to think that, like some of the prayers I pray in the morning when I get up and I'm getting all the clouds out of my brain to the best of my ability, and I get on my knees, just fall out of bed and lie on my knees, right? And some will think that those are lip service, if you will, because it's not so much repetitive, because I don't say the same thing every day. I don't have canned prayers. And I praise God for my Catholic upbringing, because now I know to look out for that stuff. Because the minute you start getting repetitive, you start to realize it. You don't want to, you know, bore your Father or grieve him or his spirit. And so he knows my heart. He knows your heart. And he knows when you get on your knees that you really, you know, sincerely are concerned for your loved ones. And this is why you repeat their names in your prayers, because you really do love them. And sometimes you might dwell a little longer on one because they're going through a certain situation at the time. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. Do that 3 times a day, minimum. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's just like we've always heard the saying, your grandmother prayed for you from the time you were born up till the time she passed on. She prayed for you every day, or, you know, whatever, something. Because I've heard stories like that many times where grandma has prayed and prayed and prayed, and then finally that child comes to Christ. And sometimes even years after the grandmother has gone to sleep. So the Lord answered the prayer with a yes. It was just that she didn't see the answer before she died. Just like with Daniel, some of the prophetic statements that he was given. Never saw them come to fruition. We're seeing them, but he didn't. So finishing it up, she says, communion with God imparts to the soul an intimate knowledge of his will. True prayer engages the energies of the soul and affects the life. He who thus pours out his wants before God feels the emptiness of everything else under heaven. All my desires before thee, said David, and my groaning is not hid from me. My soul thirsteth for God. Why, I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. That's Psalm 38, verse 9, 42, verse 2 and 4. So she says, your prayers may rise with an importunity that will not accept denial. That is faith. And remember that. Because some of you are like me, and I'm like you in a lot of ways. We're all in this together, and a lot of times you want your prayer answered yesterday. But you got this part of the Christian walk is long suffering. I mean, seriously, how long did he put up with you? But you know, when you kicked and screamed all the way to the cross. I remember when I first found Christ. I actually said the words. The very first thing I said when I was able to stop. You know, it was a very intense situation. I was alone. I didn't have no Pentecostal involvement. There was no fall to Raw. There was no, you know, some guy with mesmerizing an LP to get me to, you know, no, I was alone. I was in prayer. I had been seeking him for 18 months. And after I was able to calm down, let's just put it that way, the first thing I said was, finally. Because that's what I wanted to meet him. And I wanted to know, are you real? I've seen you in other people's lives. And when you get to that point, and which all of you have, that have found Christ as Lord and Savior, we all meet him in our own way. You know, I needed to meet him in that way, and some of you need him to meet him in a different way. We all have our different ways. And he knows, because he knows your heart. He knows what works with you. He made you. And so when you get to that point where you're in prayer and you will not accept denial, in other words, you know he's going to answer it. And it doesn't bother you that if he's going to answer no. You know he hears you. I remember when I was a baby Christian, I used to say, Father, when I was praying, I would say, Father, look, I know you hear me. I'm not praying this prayer for any evidence that you exist. I'm praying this prayer because I want to know your will on this certain situation. Because I was very green, I didn't realize. I mean, I said it anyway, and he knows what I meant by it. But my fact was, I didn't want him to think that I'm asking you to do this for me so that I know you exist. No, it was my golden fleece to see what direction you want me to go in this way. Or you know, like with the wet or the dry fleece, you know. Okay, I want it to be wet. Now I want it to be dry. And it's not because I want to know you're there. I already know you're there. I need to know what you want me to do here, kind of a thing, you know. And even there, that could take time. Well, yeah, that sometimes can take time to get answered. But I'm praying, and I, as I see some of you are, for the discernment to know, because the days are coming when we can't buy and sell, and we're going to be driving down the road. If we got a couple of drops of gasoline in our tank that the Lord's going to allow to stretch for as long as it takes to get us where we got to be, and they're going to have the checkpoints on the road. I mean, they've already got the American citizens used to those checkpoints by calling them DUI checkpoints, right? Yeah. So, and they'll pull you over, and they'll ask you the question, well, if you have discernment, and if you fine-tuned it like David going from cave to cave running from Saul, he didn't have any GPS back then. He didn't have anybody with telescopes or satellite link-ups to find out where Saul was. He was moved by the Spirit to go from cave to cave to keep a foot or step ahead of him at all times. We need that same discernment. The days are coming that we're going to need even more so. That's why the latter rain falls more abundantly. It's not just because there's a lot more of us than there were for those, you know, the 100 or so that were up in the upper room that day on Pentecost, but we're going to need so much more. Because did you see the, I don't know if I put it on the site today, that one of you sent me a picture of this. And I've seen this before. I've actually seen a video animation of it too. how many satellites there are that are floating above our heads right now. It's going to be literally, and it is now literally impossible to walk from one area to the next in any city in the United States of America without being tracked. Whether you get a cell phone or not, don't matter. With the eyes in the sky. And so when it comes time for us to flee, the doors are going to open just like they did for the apostle, where the chains fall from the arms and the gates open upon themselves like it did for Peter. It's going to happen for us too. Jesus walks through a crowd and no one sees him somehow. You know, they were going to stone him or throw him off a cliff, and he just all of a sudden walks right through him like he's not even there. It's going to happen for us. Brother Craig has already shared when he was doing the track passing, where he's like, because he still does this every now and then. I don't know how much he does it up there in the Philippines now, but I know some of you still do it, where he would go around and he would take those little cards that we have to introduce people to a basic, it's kind of like buzzwords that we used to do, like power phrases or buzzwords when I was in sales. You know, get them interested. Say something on the card that'll get them to go to the website, right, to check out even more truth. Well, he's doing this, and it's like sometimes the Lord makes him literally invisible to some of these people. Like I always like the one time where he talks about, he walks up to this one car. There's a cop, a security cop, in the car watching the parking lot, and he didn't even catch it. Craig didn't even notice it. He walks up, puts the card on the guy's car, on his driver's side window. The guy looks right through Craig, and he continues to walk on and goes to the next car, and he says, "What just happened?" And so he's going to be there for you. Trust him. That is faith. I'll be back in a minute.